Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing the big two of the class. This is Najee Harris and Travis Etienne in our tour around the position. These are going to be the last two in the running back in this trip through the running back position. If there's more guys that become sort of relevant as we go along, I think we've done a pretty good job of hitting the guys that think they're going to be relevant. We can track back through if there's any late changes or anything like that. But Najee Harris is really the big player in the class. And you know, I think he's the most likely to be a first round guy. Maybe Etienne is as well. I think if I had to bet, on a half, I'd take the over in the first round. If I had to bet on 1.5, I'd probably take the under. I think there's a chance that Najee Harris isn't a first round guy. You know, the 23 years of age, it's a pretty rare age for first round guys. That would be one thing I would say that maybe cuts against him. He is going to get the benefit of the Alabama work share and all that stuff. So. It's amazing when you go back and think about that both of these guys could have come out last year and what this class would look like if not for them. That would be a really interesting spot. So Najee Harris just moves in ways that are unnatural for someone his size. Right? You look at someone 225 up in that range, like he is just moving and stringing together lateral cuts in ways that just do not naturally happen to someone his size. So that's really the big thing with him. Like the movement skills are pretty wild. Like he's a good after contact runner as well, but he will make you miss. So when you look at some of the yards after contact stuff, like he's good, but not super elite. And I think a lot of it's because he does some work before contact in ways that you wouldn't necessarily think for a back his size. It's not all just block stuff. You know, it's some of the criticism of these Alabama guys has been, you're just getting, yes, the stats are just warped because you're getting a ton of blocked yards with him, right? He's getting blocked yards for sure, but he's making more of them in terms of not just after contact, but before contact. So that's really the thing with him that's impressive, just the movement skills. It's not just a, hey, I'm going to run you over type of size back. He can move too. You know, I think one of the concerns and criticisms of him earlier on was, hey, maybe he doesn't necessarily have the long speed. I think he checks out. He might not necessarily be, you know, 4.42, but he's fast enough, right? I mean, he's explosive enough. I'm not really concerned about that. And he hasn't tested fully yet. I don't think he's going to either, based on what I read. So, he checks out across the board. I think there are, you know, there's a little bit of concern, I guess, with some of the market share stuff, but that's an Alabama thing, generally speaking. I'm not super concerned about it. Yards per route run 1.13, that's 58th percentile, so you'll take that. The market share carries 61.8%, that's 39th percentile. Again, that's the Alabama effect. Market share of rushing yards is right at 39% as well. Market share of targets, he's at 35th percentile. He saw just over 56% of the targets there for running backs while he was there. Market share of receiving yards, 55.98. That's 43%. That's 43rd percentile. Composite PFF score, 89.2. That's 99th percentile. So you look at that, that's, you know, that's them really liking him. So that really checks out. I think if we were sort of go back, and the problem with some of the PFF data is it's not great. And I think, you know, you can sort of look at it and, you know, what passes for a, let me take that back. It's really great data, but it's not necessarily predictive. And so what is an 89 for, a smaller guy, Jarrett Patterson, we'll use him as an example. I'm not picking on him, but just 89 at that is going to look very good. But you could sort of, like the 89 in that, I think can be a smaller guy too. And not that it's you're comparing them a bit differently, but you can see some of these guys get really good scores and they're really good running backs, but they're just not translatable in terms of size, in terms of skill set. They play the position right, they do all the right decisions, you know, they're elusive, and it shows up in terms of a good grade, but it just doesn't translate because you're going to just not have some of the physical ability. So his at the high level really checking out, that's just more confirmation that he's really good. Yeah, that's really the thing. I'm a big fan. You know, and I've talked about it. I'm sure I'll loop this in just because it's on my mind, but I made a big trade. I'm sitting at 103, 104, and 106 in a league, a 2-quarterback league. And don't have I have needs. I have need players. And you know, 3 really good players in the top 6 picks will really help my team. And I'm really thinking hard about Najee Harris. It's as what either 103 or 104, because I think I could probably lock him in and then catch the quarterback there. And if I want to take a quarterback, I can catch the quarterback. But, you know, that's really I think if you're up in that range, you have to make a decision and you have to make a determination. Assuming he's a first round back, the hit rate's really high. The threshold of early success is really high. He's a classic example of why you don't address a need in a rookie draft. If you have a need at quarterback, figure out a different way, whether that's, you know, get Kirk Cousins, you know, patch together Ryan Fitzpatrick. You don't want to be in a position where you are taking a quarterback over a round one running back. Again, maybe it's a longer term bet, but the hit rate is, and you might, if you hit on the quarterback there, he's probably, you know, assuming it's a high end hit, he's going to outproduce the running back over the long term. But when you sort of look at you know, something more in the, you know, middle range of outcomes or something like that, the running back's going to outproduce the quarterback. It's going to take time for the quarterback to really develop. It's going to take time for the quarterback to get to a higher level. Typically, there is a big whiff rate, right? So you're looking, you know, something like 40-50% in terms of these guys hitting multiple times. I mean, Najee Harris, right, that is a little bit, that's about the number there for Najee Harris, is a little bit higher than that. And when you sort of look at, you know, the immediacy of it, that has an impact too. You know, maybe over the first 5 years of their career, the warp, you know, Najee Harris, you know, on a rookie deal, Najee Harris might be like a win or so ahead, but you could sort of see a scenario where he's actually a couple of wins ahead through the first 3 years. And then the quarterbacks might catch up later on down the line, something like that. But by and large, I mean, if facing the decision between taking one of these guys, taking a quarterback and taking Najee Harris, assuming he's a first round guy, I mean, I think it's a pretty, I think Najee Harris is the higher likelihood bet. I think if you're sort of projected out, like he's the one that's probably going to help you. Again, there's an opportunity cost for that. Can you replace a Najee Harris in other ways that maybe you can't do at quarterback? Yes. But I do think, you know, this is a good example of maybe you want to fire on multiple shots. We'll see. I'll put together an actual board as we sort of get closer to the draft and, you know, and have some specific recommendations. But since I'm sitting here right now, like, it's going to be tough in that range to pass on him for quarterback. And, you know, especially if there's other ways to go about it, right? If there's a way to get, you know, Matt Ryan for cheaper, right? Do you want to take Justin Fields? Do you want to take Najee Harris when you can get Matt Ryan as your quarterback, right? Like, that type of scenario is really compelling when you have an option like Najee Harris. In a prior year, in a different year, if it was, you know, a different balance at running back or a different balance at quarterback, like those things might change. But in this year, man, it's really tough to pass on Najee Harris up there. Like, I like the quarterbacks, but man, it's tough to pass on a first round running back just because it's a really high, it's a really, really high floor and it's a really high ceiling affair as well. So, I like pretty much everything about Najee Harris in terms of all that. You know, you wish he was a couple years younger, sure. Like, Alexander Mattison's younger than him and has played 2 years in the NFL. You know, those sorts of things are there. That's probably more of a second contract type issue than is a first contract type issue. But, you know, that's 4 or 5 years down the line, Jordan's problem, not this year's Jordan's problem. So I like Najee Harris. You know, there's some teams in the 20s that have good offenses that could be really interesting landing spots for him. I hope Buffalo is not one of them. But we'll see. I mean, I don't think that you need to sort of go out at that. They have specific needs that they have to address, and it's not running back. So, but I do think he can be a three down bell cow at the next level for sure. So, yeah, that's the Najee Harris portion of this podcast. Travis Etienne, another strong player in this class. I think I was actually listening to some podcasts over the weekend about this running back class. And some of the guys at PFF were like pretty in on Javonte Williams in terms of him potentially being the second best player in this class until he sort of came in undersized. Etienne came in a little bit bigger, and that changed their comp spectrum. And one of the things that really jumped out about Etienne was his missed tackle rate, just outrageous. Etienne, not quite as high, but still elusive. Like the PFF has an elusive ranking that he is pretty close to Harris. Like they look pretty similar. They do it in different ways, but it's a similar type. Score, Etienne, 94th percentile in terms of yards per route run. So you love to see that, 1.66 yards per route run. When you look at some of the other stats, he has, in terms of his yards after contact, for example, he is 4.51 yards after contact, so that's 97th percentile. You look at his composite grade, 88.4, that's 98th percentile. So really good back all around. If I had to quibble, right, he's a little bit undersized in terms of his size. I did note some ball security issues, a couple of fluky ones really. One there was a fumble. The other one he kind of like dropped because he picked his head up and looked for it. I wonder how. Like his yards and his receiving stats check out pretty well. I wonder if he's really if he has as excellent a hands. You just notice like you dropped a couple of balls. Some of the stuff didn't look. You know, when you watch guys and they jump when they catch and it's at chest high, it's tends to be a signal of some unnatural hands. That's just not something that's just not a smooth thing. It's like you're unnecessarily adjusting, but then you see him make catches in traffic and you're like, all right, I'm probably just nitpicking. So, so that's the, you know, and he'll see him catch balls that I don't really have those concerns with. So, that's really I don't think it's a receiving problem at all. Just he had some interesting stuff that like, I think there were more distraction stuff than anything in terms of security, but that'd be something I just keep an eye on. Again, I'm not going to knock him for that, but that was a couple of things that jumped on. I as a pass blocker, I know that there's some critiques of him and stuff like that. I do think that he is a, you know, he's committed to it and he's, you know, he's a willing and committed pass blocker. So that's something I think, you know, that kind of bodes well for him. Comfortable running between the tackles. Again, do you want to pound him 17 times between the tackles? Probably not. Do you want to, you know, run him, get him a little bit more focused on the perimeter, that sort of stuff? Yeah. Again, I think he can do it, but this isn't something where I think he needs to come out on like every interior run or anything like that. Ultimately, do you want him sort of used a little bit more like Alvin Kamara and a little bit less like Latavius Murray? Absolutely. You know, I wouldn't necessarily comp him to Kamara. I think Kamara is more explosive in terms of his cutting ability. I think Travis Etienne is a really good player all around. I think he does a lot of things like at a high level. And so that's really my thoughts on him. Yeah, I think probably if you sort of looked at it, like, I think he's probably got a higher fantasy ceiling than Javonte Williams does. So if I'm going to put these guys in an order, it's going to be Harris 1 by a clear tier, and then Etienne 2, and then Javonte Williams 3. I don't think the gap between Javonte Williams and Etienne is all that huge, but I do think it's a gap. In terms of ultimate upside, but I think he is a gap from Najee Harris. So I have him at a pretty comfortable two. If he's in day one, I think I would probably take Harris over him. You know, it maybe some landing spot stuff could factor in. I haven't really looked at it specifically enough to say, you know, how it would be, and I typically don't react a ton to. A ton to landing spot, but you know, if he came in to be this clear second fiddle or something like that to a more established guy like that, could impact it or something like that. But I think by and large that's going to be my top three, and then I think it's a pretty clear tier break. So it's the pretty big overall thing. I will be posting a podcast that I released earlier on in the off season. I will repost it. It is on some hit rate stuff in terms of how to just improve your process. I think the main thesis of it is don't draft wide receivers in the first round of a rookie draft. That's broadly stating the rule. I don't necessarily think that's a hard and fast cut and dry rule. But I do think, when breaking ties, break in favor of the running backs in this class. So if you're debating break in favor of the running back, I think that'll help you out. And this guy, so I'll be reposting that this week, so you can get another re-listen on that if you're a newer subscriber, or I did it at kind of an odd time in the off season. So all right, well, I'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.